revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a return guest, somebody who I learned a lot from and had a wonderful show with in the past. And with the nature of living now, it's about stress. Everybody I talk to, my patients, people who I see in passing, it seems like everybody has a higher stress load. And if you turn on the TV, if you do anything that's media related, I think it just expands on it and adds to it. So because this show is about solutions, I wanted to have Dr. Susan come back. And this is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, and she's a wonderful resource. She has a PhD. She's an author. She's a teacher. And she has a program which everybody needs to know about. And she's been in the space with fitness and health for 30 years. And she's the founder and president of Health Unlimited, a Los Angeles-based consulting firm dedicated to optimal wellness, health education, and human potential. She's been on radio shows and TV talk shows as a guest and motivational speaker. And she's an author of many books. The most recent is A Hug in a Mug, Revitalize with Fruits, Veggies, Juices, Soups, Spices, Teas, and Healthy Living Extras, and Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. And Dr. Susan, this is exactly what I think everybody in society needs. So I want to thank you for joining me today.
Yes, I'm so grateful to be back with you. And like you said, the biggest question I get these days is, Susan, what is all this stress doing to my body, and what can I do about it? And I'll tell you that I know all about it where I live here in Palisades, Brentwood, because we just went through horrific fires you probably heard about. Mm-hmm. So everyone I work with, most of my clients lost their homes, so they're somewhere else. And even if someone didn't go through the fire, there's so much stress going on. So I love this topic today because we all need a little help.
I couldn't agree more. And from what you espouse, it's not coming from outside, is it? In order to control this has to be something that you bring from inside. Is that one way to think about it?
You know, that's a great way to think about it, because look at it this way. There's very little in life over which we have control, but a few things we do, like what we eat, nobody shoves the food down our throat, what we think, and how we move, that's our exercise. We don't have a lot of control over everything else. And I don't think it's really the people in our lives, the complications, and the times in which we live that cause us the most stress. It's what we think about the people, the complications, and the times in which we live. And our attitude is one of those three things, our approach, our perspective, that we can change in life. It's like when I was a teenager and my grandmother helped me get through a major death in our unexpected death in our family, and she took me under her wings and taught me everything that I know now. And then I got studies behind it with getting several degrees. But that just means I'm persistent. That's what all the degrees mean. But my grandmother overhauled my diet from one pretty much all processed foods and revamped my entire lifestyle, because I was at the point in my life where in a year I gained 50 pounds, got all types of illnesses. And while she wasn't a doctor, she was wise on the ways to live the most natural diet. And she taught me all about holistic health. So my two new companion books sort of summarize all these gold star secrets that she taught me. And then they're backed by studies that I've taught all over the world. And, you know, we'll talk about stress, what it does to the body, the best stress busters, what is holistic health. But my grandmother Fritzi always used to remind me that your attitude is your mind's paintbrush. It can color anything. So we want to color our lives as inspired and positive as possible.
I think you just summarized when people say mind and body are connected. You just described why that is. It's almost like you are what you think. Is that one way to see it?
Yeah, you are what you eat. That's for sure. But even overriding that, it is what you think. Because here's a key thought about this. You can eat the best foods all day, all organically grown, picked out of your garden. You could exercise a few hours a day, get everything in. But if your thoughts, along with those two things, are continually negative, always harboring thoughts of doubt and worry and fear and anger and jealousy and all these negative emotions that are pretty much time wasters, there's no way that you can be vibrantly healthy. It's all about holistic health. The body reflects the mind, and the mind reflects the spirit. They're all connected. So the body's a great place to start because we can control what we think, how we move, and what we feed ourselves. And when anybody ever says to me, well, talk about what holistic health is to you, I often answer this way. I think that imagine crafting the perfect recipe for a fulfilling life. And I think it starts with wholesome ingredients like maybe a dose of daily movement, a pinch of mindfulness, a cup of laughter, and a sprinkle of self-love. And then stir in some healthy meals, meaningful relationships, time spent in nature, and doing what you love. And then the result is a life filled with joy, vitality, and balance. And I think that the best recipes are those that don't just nourish the body, like you just said, but also the mind and the spirit. That's what holistic health is all about.
It's such a broad way of seeing health in general. It's so boxed in our typical paradigms of what health means, right? You watch TV and it's always about a prescription or medication. And there's nothing really that opens people's minds to thinking outside of that box. It's really very limiting, I find, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And let's hope that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. does something to prevent any prescription drug commercials from being on TV. On the rare times I have to watch a little TV, it's like every 2 to 3 commercials is one for some drug, and most of the commercial is about the negative side effects.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that causes more stress just watching those. And if you think stress, well, it's not that big of a deal. I'll tell you that the American Association of Family Physicians reports that 2/3 of all doctor visits are due to stress-related ailments, and it's believed that 80 to 90% of all diseases are stress-related. And if you're female, stress is probably more damaging to your health because study after study finds that women suffer from both stress and depression, which is kind of a side part of stress when you don't deal with it well, more often than men.
You know, I have to have ask a segue question, which you may not be able to answer, but it seems to me in the broader stream, it's because women are caregivers, right? They're the primary caregiving source for the family. Do you think that makes women more likely to be affected by it?
Yes, because so often they don't take care of themselves. And we need to always remind ourselves that health care really begins with self-care. And many studies show that when a man comes home, let's say from doing work outside the home all day, comes home, then his cortisol level begins to go down and he's a little bit more relaxed. But when women come home, it's like they're on a second shift and their stress level never goes down and they go to bed completely exhausted. And then, you know, sleep is a great stress buster. We'll get into that in detail. But you're so right on what you said, because women are the caregivers and want to take usually care of everyone around them first before they fill their own cup.
That's, you know, it's a blessing and it's also in can be detrimental. On that note, let's take our first break because I want to make sure we have enough time to go into what causes stress. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. And before the break, you were doing a wonderful synopsis of what makes our minds and body so important and how stress affects us. I mean, stress is so nebulous, right? Is it you're overworked? Is it you are over programmed in terms of your time after work? Is it anger? Is it frustration with your life? What do you think is the major thing that causes people to feel stress?
There can be as many causes of stress as there are people. For some, it could be weather-related, environmental, here earthquakes or fires or tornadoes. For some people, you know, in this area, bumper-to-bumper traffic, maybe constant noise, unpaid bills. For other people, it could be thinking of your deadlines, your commitments, when you think of what causes you to be stressed out. It can be triggered, like you just mentioned, by emotions like anger, fear, worry, grief, depression, even guilt. And when you have chronic stress, meaning not just once a week you didn't sleep well, but daily chronic stress, it can actually lead to so many issues in the body. From, this is just a small little list, high blood pressure, heart problems, suppressed immunity, weight gain, sleep debt, bone loss, fatigue, muscle joint pain, headaches, depression, inflammation, constipation, and on and on and on. But fortunately, there are so many positive, practical things we can all do, which we need to do on a daily basis. Many of these are easy to incorporate. Most of them will cost you no money at all. It's just remembering what these are and doing them. So you might want to get out a pen and a paper. You ready?
Yep.
Well, top on the list is make sure you exercise a lot. Major studies have been done on one of the best ways to reduce stress in your life is through regular exercise. I always like to tell people to make sure you walk your dog every day, whether you have a dog or not. And I love Henry David Thoreau said, an early morning walk is a blessing for the whole day. And there was a major study done right over here. I went to UCLA and taught there for 30 years, health and fitness. But in our in the other school, a little bit farther away, it's University of Southern California. And there was a major study done on stress there. And they took a group of stressed and anxious people and divided them into two groups. And one group took a vigorous walk around a level track that raised their heart rates just to a little bit more than 100 beats per minute. That's not walking that fast. And it reduced the tension in their body. That's how you test the stress level, by using an EMG machine, electromyograph. It reduced the tension in their bodies by 20%. But then the other group, second group of stressed patients were given a tranquilizer that you normally think, at least in the olden days, I'll take that, it will relax me, but it hardly made any difference at all. So go for a walk, hit the gym, do some weight-bearing exercise, maybe give yoga a try. Studies show that people who practice yoga have much lower stress hormones than those people who don't. So make sure that in some way you have exercise in your lifestyle every day, because we're designed for movement, and we don't want people to use an excuse, it's snowing, it's too cold, it's windy, too much traffic, I'm afraid of the dogs, I'm too busy. It's always good to have a little bit of equipment in your home. Maybe one day we'll do a whole different show on best ways to lose weight, keep the weight off, and what, how to set up a little mini, mini gym in your home.
That's reasonable. I mean, if you don't have to pay for a gym membership or leave your home, really there's no excuse not to do that.
Yeah, a lot of people started doing that right when COVID hit, because the gyms were closed. And then a lot of people, like myself, didn't want to go back to a gym. So I did convert part of my living room into a gym. And I love my rower. And that's for the first time I got a really good rower. And I like that because you get aerobic. Mm-hmm. You know, you work out your heart, your vessels, your lungs, cardio work. But then you also get good weight training at the same time, and my machine's quiet. I can turn the TV on. I can just do it for a little bit in the morning. I always prefer morning time because then I get it out of the way, and I don't have excuses that come up later in the day why I can't work out.
Yeah.
So exercise is so important. Another key tip for keeping your stress levels down would be meditation. And you don't have to be a Buddhist monk to know how to meditate. My grandmother taught me as a teenager, and to this day, and I'm definitely a well-varnished senior here, but to this day, I try to bookend my day with a little quiet meditation. If I can't get in two times, then the morning would be the more important one to start the day off on a positive note. And you just sit, find a place that's quiet. It could be outdoors. You could even do a meditation, walking meditation, but somewhere where it's quiet, you won't be interrupted. You know what's one place in the house, if you live with other people, that you won't be bothered?
Probably the bathroom.
Exactly, exactly right. And you just focus on something, like maybe your breath. You focus on yourself inhaling and exhaling, and thoughts are going to come into your mind. And like an untrained puppy, you just let the thoughts go by. And I often in my head go, thank you for sharing, I'll get to you later. Or maybe you visualize something really peaceful, very calming. One of the ways I love to meditate is I like to either take the word stillness, or I like to take from the Bible, Mark 4:39, it's peace, be still. And if you want like a little mantra to say, you could use these Bible words. You could breathe in to peace. You just sort of say it silently in your head, or if you're alone, out loud a little bit, and then you slowly exhale and say, be still. Or if you use stillness, breathe in to still and breathe out to ness. So something like that that takes your mind off what you need to do that day, what you wished you hadn't done yesterday. Because when you think of something to say like that, it really keeps your mind focused. So we want to keep it focused on something that's very positive and peaceful. And then I always end my, I don't know if you do this, but I end my meditation with a little visualization. It could be a minute, up to 3 or 5 minutes. and I see a goal that day, some goal that I want to achieve, it could be something as simple as eating better foods that day or getting in a good workout next or something. And then I see the end result as though it's already achieved. And because it's important, like Goethe said, to assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled. So I assume that feeling that goal I'm thinking about has already come to fruition, and how happy and grateful I would be. Albert Einstein once said that the imagination is more important than knowledge. Henry David Thoreau said one of my favorite quotes of all time. And it's, if you advance, my grandmother made me memorize this as a teenager. Mm-hmm. It's, if you advance confidently in the direction of your dreams and you endeavor to live the life which you have imagined, you will meet with a success unexpected in common hours. And it works that way. Thoreau also said, your imagination is a preview of your life's coming attractions. So in other words, you want to see your life the way you want it to be. Because what does that do? That basically helps to change your whole mindset. By mentally rehearsing acts of maybe positivity and kindness and visualizing positive things, then you create pathways in your subconscious to help make these actions and the results a natural part of your life. And you've heard about world-class athletes. Mm-hmm. Who visualize a hole in one or making the baskets, studies show that they always do much better. And if these athletes can do better by just visualizing a little hole in one or getting the ball in the basket, think how powerful it can be for your life. And then I'm going to add to that one more thing about enthusiasm, because Ralph Waldo Emerson said, nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. He also said, I love Emerson and Thoreau, no one is so old as those who have outlived enthusiasm. And enthusiasm for me is like the elixir that generates change, that nourishes the body and feeds the soul. So remember that part of the meditating, your exercising, your healthy living program, your visualization is to be enthusiastic. And do you know what enthusiastic, you know where the word enthusiastic came from?
No.
Well, the word enthusiasm, it's a Greek word, but it's found in the Bible too, and it means literally, and it means with God. It means God within. So when you're enthusiastic, it's like you are transmitting that light, that God within energy power, out into the world, and then you see other people catch your enthusiasm. So, and we'll get to gratitude in a little bit. I know I keep digressing to other topics.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. So another way to keep the stress level down is literally to eat a stress-relieving diet. Now, isn't this interesting? There is a stress-relieving diet. And it's like my grandmother taught me, to always eat your foods the way nature made them as possible. And she would remind me constantly, honey, you don't find donut vines, ice cream trees, or potato chip bushes out in nature. You've got to eat natural foods that are, and emphasize foods that are high in water content. Those basically are your produce. Produce, I think, is the most important health care that your money can buy. And we're talking basically about fresh fruits and lots of vegetables, lots of color on your plate. If your plate looks like a fiesta, you're probably doing a good job. And to that healthy diet, and by the way, plant-based foods are the only foods with fiber in them. There's no fiber in animal products. Plant-based foods, your fruits, your veggies, your legumes, your seeds, your nuts, those are all the foods that keep your digestive system humming along. I know this isn't the most pleasant topic, and let's hope nobody's eating right now, but we don't want anyone to be constipated. You've got, like Fritzy used to say to me, you want to have at least one good bowel movement a day, and if you're lucky, a couple more bonus rounds each day. You want to be able to do that because you don't want to recirculate all the stuff that could be sitting in your colon for days and days. So to help that move along, to get you back in the flow, you want to make sure you drink, as your beverage of choice, lots of good purified water every day. The body's 70% water. Our cells are 70% water. Our planet Earth is 70% water. I don't think that's a coincidence. And at a cellular level, dehydration makes us as droopy as a neglected violet. Lack of moisture in our faces causes wrinkles, like lack of moisture in grapes causes raisins, or in plums causes prunes. And not every liquid will do, because beverages like caffeinated coffee and tea and colas and alcohol, they're wet, but they actually dehydrate the body. So I call them anti-water. What I love to do in my water, and it's great for starting conversations, is you take a cinnamon stick. Let's say you carry a bottle around with you wherever you go, so you're always with a little water. And put a cinnamon stick in your water, and it just gives it a very light flavor note of cinnamon. Why is that good? Because cinnamon boosts your immune system. It also helps to balance out your blood sugar level, keeping you on keel all day. And that little stick will, over 2 days, as you transfer it from glass to glass or bottle to bottle, will uncurl. And then you could take that curl, you could put it in the garden, let it disintegrate or throw it away, and put in another cinnamon stick. But when people see the cinnamon stick in your water, trust me, they're going to say, what is that thing in your water? And then they'll think you're so smart when you talk to them about cinnamon. And it gives it a little bit of a different flavor, because a lot of people say, oh, Susan, I know you're right about the water. I just don't like how it tastes. Well, cinnamon makes a difference. And, of course, lemon, cucumber slices. Sometimes I put in a sprig of rosemary and mint, you know, whatever. Just whatever you can do to get in good water.
And you mentioned briefly sleep. That's one of the things I think people have the most issues with. I mean, they're staying up late, they're on the computer. COVID was awful in terms of people, you know, breaking their routine and eating in the middle of the night and all that sort of thing. How much is sleep really? Is it medicinal? I have a, you know, my sense is it is, if you can actually get good quality sleep. But does it, is it a foundation for everything you just described?
Oh my gosh. Now, I know I'll keep telling you this, but we've got to do an entire show on sleep, because I have my best commandments, about 15 of them. I'll rattle through a few now.
Okay.
But to help you sleep like a baby every night, and is it important? You bet it is. There's no way you can be vibrantly healthy without getting sleep, because what's the function of sleep? It's to rebuild, renew, repair, rejuvenate your body overnight. But if you don't get enough sleep, you often will wake up more tired than when you went to sleep at night. And if you eat too close to bedtime, you want to try not to eat 3 hours before bedtime unless it's something easy to digest and light, like maybe a piece of fruit, because that can digest quickly if you take it on an empty stomach. But nothing before you go to sleep. And then so when you get into bed, so how much do we need? You know, different ages need different levels of sleep, like from toddlers to kids to teenagers. You need a whole lot more than adults, but adults, for your brain to function well the next day, to be positive, to be healthy, to do everything I just said, renew, rebuild, repair, you need 7 to 8 hours of sleep at night. And some of the things you've got to remember about sleep is keep your sheets and your PJs, if you wear them, natural fibers, not polyester, because that affects sleep. You got to turn off all technology about an hour before you go to bed. You want your bedroom to be cool, dark, and very quiet. It's good to put a live plant in. I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but I'm just going to rattle these off. A live plant in your bedroom, because it gives off oxygen and takes up carbon dioxide. Never use your cell phone an hour before bedtime, because it literally changes your brainwave activity and takes you from it keeps you right there in beta consciousness, which is where we hope everyone is right now. It's waking consciousness, and makes it difficult to sleep. When you go to sleep, you go from beta, waking consciousness. The next slower level is beta, alpha, and then it's theta. That's the next slower, lower, slow-moving brain activity level. And then you go to sleep, and that's delta. When you wake up in the morning, you go in the opposite direction. So you want to do everything you can to help that system of your brainwave activity changing. If you have to get up and go to the bathroom at night, I'm whispering, like, even though there's nobody around me, but I'm saying that. You don't want to blast the light, because that shuts down the melatonin and makes it difficult for the melatonin to come back, one of the hormones that helps you sleep. If you have a little diffuser and you can put the essential oil of lavender in it next to your bed, yes, that will help, or on your pillowcase, or something like that. And then a really good way to get good sleep, and also don't paint your bedroom red walls. I worked with a very famous actress here in Brentwood many years ago, and we worked over the phone a lot. She came to my office, helped her get ready for some big events, but she continued to have a sleep issue, even though she was doing everything I told her. I said, can I just come over to your house and look at your bedroom? And I was shocked when I walked in, because her bedroom walls, her favorite color was red. All of her bedroom walls, not just a little focal wall, everything was bright red. And then one separate wall was a bright orange. Those aren't calming colors, and they'll stimulate you and then keep you awake. So you even don't want, like, bright red bed sheets. That will make a difference in how you sleep. But then one final tip, and we'll have a time when we go through all this in detail, is if you can warm up the core of your body. Now, I have an infrared sauna that when I have time, 2-3 hours before bedtime, I'll use that. You might have a nice bath, and that's why it's good to give a baby a bath before bedtime. And here's why. After you heat up your core, and it's not just a 5-minute shower, it's a soak where you really heat up the core. The process of your core cooling down, as it will when you get out of the bathtub or the sauna, really sends throughout your body much higher levels of melatonin, and you will sleep like a baby. On my website, my name, SusanSmithJones.com, put in sleep in the search bar, put in infrared sauna, things like this that will help you get a lot more info. But then also, I have the commandments for getting good sleep in both A Hug and a Mug and Uplifted. But those are all tips to help you sleep more.
That's a great, an easy thing to do. And again, it's natural. People are taking, and I want to get your take on it, taking a melatonin supplement, for example. That's not equivalent to what you just described, is it?
I would try my ways first. And if they don't work, as long as you don't completely overdo the melatonin, because it actually is an antioxidant. It's actually good for your body. And when I've been under a whole lot of stress during the day, or, for example, right now they're building a new house across the street, and it's been hour after hour of banging and hammering and drilling and sawing and trucks backing up with the beep, beep, beep sounds, and they're going much later because it's lighter at night now.
Mm-hmm.
And on occasion, I'll put a little melatonin under my tongue, and I do see it really does help me. But also an hour before bedtime, if I think it's going to be one of those nights I'm on deadline to get an article or a book done and I can't turn my brain off, I'll make some tea. And it's either chamomile, you know, tea bags, chamomile, or it's loose leaf, chamomile, lavender, or lemon balm is a great tea to have to relax you. Chamomile is one of the very, very best. And those teas will just help calm you down. But you don't want to drink it minutes before bedtime, because then you'll be up 2-3 times at night using the bathroom.
Gotcha. Well, I think that's a great place to take our second break, because I want to go back to our original topic. And you mentioned before gratitude, and I think that's something that everybody needs to cultivate. So let's take our second break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. And again, you can go to her website, susansmithjones.com, and you can see her book. You can buy it there, and you can see articles she's written, recipes, webinars, and other interviews. And before the break, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about stress busters. And one of the things that you mentioned was gratitude. What exactly, for those that are not well-versed, because everybody's feeling, not everybody, but the prevailing emotion these days is something that's not positive. It's anger, it's frustration. You know, the whole energy of the planet seems to be off. And gratitude, to me, is the antidote for that. So in your opinion, or in your experience, what is gratitude, and how does that help us?
Yes, and you're so right. The antithesis of focusing on the negative is, let's focus on things for which we are grateful. Studies have even shown that it's a great stress buster, because what you think about consistently brings more of the same right back into your life. So focusing on the positive, even during difficult times, is one of the best ways to reduce stress, to alleviate stress, and to transform your life. And I often look at gratitude like this powerful tool that transforms not just your mindset, but your whole life. Because when you focus on blessings around you, I touched on this briefly earlier, you shift your energy toward positivity and abundance. And what you can do to get you in the habit of thinking more positively is to keep, and we've heard this for ages, but it's very effective, is get a beautiful book. Get a beautiful book online or at a bookstore with maybe just lines in it. And start a gratitude journal. Write down every day at some point before you go to bed at night, at least three things for which you are grateful. I know you can find three things, and you can write more if you want, but let's make it easy. We don't want to set people up to fail. At least three. And watch how this simple habit of thanksgiving and gratitude opens the door to happiness, deeper connections, and a more fulfilled life. I know a lot of people, sadly, that wait pretty much till the fourth Thursday in November on Thanksgiving Day, and that's their day to be grateful. But as my grandmother taught me, that if you want to live a happy life, that the path to peace and happiness and joy and balance is each and every day live thankfully. After these big fires in Palisades and Brentwood here, I was so grateful literally for that I had a bed and a pillow. For 3 weeks and no power, and I had no hot water and no Wi-Fi. You know, that's nothing compared to people that literally lost their homes. The little things in life, the life's simple pleasures that we often take for granted until we lose them or there's a threat of losing them, like beautiful, simple things. You know, so now, like, I see butterflies fly by or dragonflies, or today I was sitting outside sipping tea for a few moments and a ladybug landed on the back of my hand. And the joy I literally got from that this morning, and I love this, and I had so much gratitude for this. It might sound really simplistic to most people, but there's so many beautiful, simple pleasures in life that we just take for granted. Like this morning, from my little garden, I cut three flowers. They were Gerber daisies, and I arranged them in a vase. And then there was one that fell on the ground that had broken off, and I put that in a little bowl. And just arranging the vase and the bowl of flowers in my morning gave me the sense of quiet in what I knew would be a crowded day, kind of like writing a poem or saying a prayer. It was so wonderful. Know how important this kind of rides tandem with gratitude. Know how important it is to keep your word. I'm a stickler on making my word gold. I have major contracts with big companies and do consulting and other work. And most of them who know me well, we don't even have a written contract because they know with a handshake my word is absolutely gold. And when you keep your word with what you say you're going to do with someone else or with you, it bolsters your self-esteem. I think when you don't keep your word, I think it darkens your soul. And when keeping your word, I don't think there's a small situation. Perhaps it's no big deal for you to say you're going to do something and then not do it, but it can really be important to another person. And self-esteem, for me, is just like this difficult-to-cultivate flower. It requires frequent nurturing that occurs when you keep your word, you follow through on your promises, you look for the blessings in every day, count your blessings, and bring your enthusiasm to everything you do. When you're doing the dishes, like, do you ever watch little kids vacuum? Help with the dishes, help with the meal, try to help you mow the lawn. They are so excited, and they don't use like a yardstick measurement comparing it with the last time they did it. But you read them a book 50 times, they love it every time. It's that kind of enthusiasm that we, and it's all about, and I am a Christian, and it's all about getting in touch with your divine nature inside you, being as positive as you can. And I believe that gratitude keeps my thoughts always going in the right direction, helps me put my faith into actions.
I couldn't have said that. It was very eloquent what you just said, and so true. And when you think about it in a bigger way, it doesn't give space for anxiety and depression and all those emotions that you feel overwhelmed by. I mean, you're taking control and you're taking the initiative, and it doesn't allow you to be influenced from what you just described, and that's how I feel, by other people, what they think of you, what they're superimposing or projecting onto you. It doesn't matter because you have this foundation, this power that you're able to just basically reflect back or not let it take you over. It's really an amazing emotion, and it just gives you peace, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gives you peace. And if you want more peace and energy, you know, if I have to have three top things on my list for living a healthy, balanced, peaceful, and stressless life, and without depression, because it's not that I don't get depressed or have anxiety. I do, but I look at, it's hard to be positive if you haven't slept enough.
Yeah.
If you eat junk foods, you're going to be depressed and have no energy and have low self-esteem. And the darker your thoughts, the more you choose poor foods. When you eat an unhealthy diet, it's a reflection of your poorly lit thoughts. But right there near the top of the list, besides everything else I've been talking about, is time in nature. There was this great recent Stanford study that found quantifiable evidence that walking in nature could lead to a lower risk of depression. So if you're feeling down, do what I like to do. My favorite thing is to be outdoors in nature, always outdoors in nature. Take a hike. When your mind is positive and you're feeling upbeat, you're more apt to choose healthier foods. And if you just need that energy boost, and as much as you can do this with other people and family, that's good too. The best place to get it is outside. In another study I read last month from the University of Rochester, it was being in the presence of nature for 20 minutes. This wasn't 5 hours, it was 20 minutes a day, significantly boosted vitality levels, like your mood and your energy. Why? Because nature is fuel for the soul. And often when we feel depleted, what do most people do? They reach for a cup of coffee.
Exactly, caffeine.
Yep, exactly, a caffeine booster. But research suggests that a better way to get energized is just to connect with nature. And this greater sense of vitality doesn't translate simply to more energy for your work or your play, but it also means people are more resilient to illnesses. I coined a word decades ago. I write about it in A Hug and a Mug and Uplifted. I'll tell you about those in a moment. But I coined this called NDD, Nature Deficit Disorder. You know, put simply, one of the pathways to vitality and youthful health, no matter your age, I think near the top of the list is to spend more time in natural settings. So remember, nature is fuel for your soul. Get outdoors. You know, Mom, our grandmas used to say, go outside to play. I say, go outside to play and pray and enjoy nature's medicine. It is medicinal.
Absolutely. On that note, that's a great way to take our last break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Smith Jones. And before the break, I think you did a wonderful job of just explaining to us that you don't need all of these outside things. You don't need the internet to make you feel good. As a matter of fact, it probably does the opposite since you're not outside and getting power from nature. And before, I want to talk about your books, but I have one question to ask about earthing. What is that exactly?
Ooh. Oh, man. Okay, so my feet are on a little earthing mat right now. By the way, on my website, in the search bar, put in earthing or grounding, and you'll go to a page where I have a one-hour documentary that all these scientists put together. It's so good, about how literally walking barefoot on the natural ground, like the grass in your backyard, a local park, on the beach, you know, somewhere natural, the living earth transmits into your body more electrons. And studies have found, and you'll see all this in the documentary on my website, that it will instantly, within minutes, put you in a better mood. It will reduce inflammation, one of the harbingers of all illness and disease. It will make you happier, more positive. It will give you more energy. And then, you know, you can combine that with deep breathing. And you could do a walking meditation if you had a yard big enough to just walk a little bit. Even if it's a 5-foot by 5-foot patch of grass, you want something natural unless you live in an apartment and you don't have that. But in which case, it's good to have a little earthing mat that you can put your bare feet on that duplicates what you get from real earthing. But you know, the earthing is what brings us back to time out in nature, because you're in nature and you're walking around, and the more of your skin you can get on, let's say you're in your backyard. Let's say, unlike where I live, you don't have drones flying overhead. If you could be in your birthday suit in your backyard and lie on the grass, because the more skin you have touching the natural earth, the more transmission of those healing electrons your body will absorb from the living Mother Earth. And, you know, so if it's just your feet, because that's just easiest and there are people there and you want privacy, that's fine. But you'll get more of a boost with more skin. And if the ground is a little bit wet, let's say the sprinklers just ran, then you even get a stronger input transmission of the electrons into your body. So on my website, my name, SusanSmithJones.com, put earthing in the search bar. And then you've got to look at this 1 hour documentary. If you think it's crazy stuff they only do in LA, you'll be convinced when you see this documentary. It's just phenomenal. And I was just thinking too, during the break, another, just a quick comment about kindness. Henry James once said, three things in human life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third, he said, is to be kind. And I know that when you think about becoming the best version of yourself, kindness should be top on your list. You know, kindness is more than a virtue. It's a catalyst for change. And every small act of kindness that you share with the world has the power to ripple outward, transforming not only others, but yourself. You know, it could be a smile, a helping hand, a kind word, a little lesson of compassion to a child. Kindness heals, connects, and inspires. And I want everyone to discover how practicing kindness can uplift your life and those around you. And studies have shown when you're kind for a few seconds, maybe you open the door for someone, maybe you pay it forward with buying someone's coffee in line or something, But not only does it help another person, but it blesses you too. And studies have also found that your brain lights up like a Christmas tree when you show kindness to others or even yourself. You take time to take a bubble bath, maybe something, or you're kind to yourself because you ate better foods that day. And that Christmas tree reaction, lit up Christmas tree, secretes more serotonin and dopamine, among other chemicals, that make you feel great, not just for a few minutes, but for hours. So I just think, you know, I'll sum that kindness up. In a world where, what did my grandmother always used to say? Oh, yes, that you can be anything. You can be anything you want to be in this world. Choose to be kind. That needs to be top on your list.
I love that. You know, we've had so many different pieces of our discussion today, and I want to make sure that people know how to get your books, and your website is a wealth of knowledge for sure. But the two books, A Hug in a Mug, and the other book that you wrote, they're now out and people can buy them on your website, correct?
Yes. And do I have one? Let me just in 1 minute talk about these books.
Sure.
A Hug in a Mug, you might think it's just about food. I'm just grabbing a sip of water here with a cinnamon stick in it, by the way. But A Hug in a Mug has a double meaning because, yes, firstly, it refers to delicious, wholesome foods and beverages that you can enjoy in a mug, like healing teas, rejuvenating juices, great soups. These are all discussed in the book, spices, and I have over 100 recipes. But secondly, it refers to looking at your body like this magnificent mug, this miraculous vessel given to each of us by God to take care of throughout our lives. And we need to give our body many hugs every day in the forms of wholesome nutrition, daily exercise, ample sleep, time in nature, stress management, social, positive connections, an attitude of gratitude, more faith. You know, so as I said earlier, health care starts with self-care, and it's our responsibility to our glorious physical, mental, and spiritual mug vessel that we got to take care of it. It's all connected, and it's available on Amazon. You can get autographed copies on my website, SusanSmithJones.com. Hug in a Mug comes in color and black and white. They're the same book. One's just in color. I think the color one's a little bit prettier. And then the other, and I have two books because I didn't want to give you a 600-page book. I wanted all my gold star secrets from the last 25 years in these two books, so you have my whole program. And so Hug in a Mug is more physical with recipes, head to toe healing, detox, rejuvenation. Uplifted is more mental, emotional, and spiritual, and it's what you can do, hundreds of things you can do and why in 12 or fewer minutes a day, one step at a time, taking baby steps. And you put both of these together and you will be soaring in your life. So you can go to SusanSmithJones.com, follow me on X, and if you go in the navigation bar, I've got a one day a month, I send you a healthy living newsletter. You can subscribe. It takes 10 seconds. I never give your email addresses out. And the general public never gets to read what's in my healthy living newsletters. They're just for everyone who signs up. They're like my extended family. And then if you go to books and go to A Hug in a Mug and Uplifted, you can see how to get an autographed copy of any of these books. I just have the color version of A Hug in a Mug that I thinned out or uplifted. And with each book, I get the order, I autograph the book, I write you a personal handwritten note card, I put a bookmark in the book, I put it in the envelope, I address it, and I personally take these to the post office, and I mail them all over the world, because a lot of people love to have autographed copies of books, and they make great gifts.
I'm sure they do, and people need to go out and do this as they listen to the show. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It was an absolute pleasure, and I can't wait to have you back on.
Thank you. It will do weight loss and home gym. We'll do sleep. We'll do a lot of other things. I would love it.
Awesome. I look forward to it. Have a blessed day.
And thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk Events.